If you'd like to follow the reading this morning, you can find, or it starts on page 638 of the Church Bibles. We'll be continuing our study of Proverbs. We got to chapter 5, and this morning I'm going to be reading selected passages from chapters 5, 6, and 7, all dealing with the warning against temptation of adultery. So let's start at chapter 5, verse 1. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and that your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end she's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life, her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honour to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labours go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, oh, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed, and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? Now we're going to be moving on to chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them round your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. To preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes into his neighbour's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry. But if he's caught, he'll pay sevenfold. He'll give all the goods of his household. But he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. Wounds and dishonor will he get, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply gifts. And moving on to chapter 7. My son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. For at the window of my house, I've looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and in every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him, and with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and have found you. I have spread my couch with coverings, coloured linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband's not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon he will come home. With much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. He does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, this morning is all about learning sexual wisdom. So I think we better pray. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Lord, we pray that will be true for us today. We pray that we would listen very carefully to your word. We pray that it would help us as we live our lives, that we would always honour and glorify you, our Lord and Saviour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the passage starts with the words, my son, be attentive to my wisdom, in verse 1 of chapter 5. That is the headline for what is to come. Sexual temptation was very real at the time when this was written. I'm not sure sexual temptation is more powerful today, but the difference is we have a much broader range in the area of sexual dimension, and it's also right in our faces with the internet, with social media and the television. In fact, sexual temptation is certainly so much more accessible today. We live in a world that says we should gratify our needs as we choose. And sexual permissiveness is now in open season. So when it comes to sex, the world says, I can be what I want to be, when I want to be, do what I want to do, and choose when I do it. For our young people growing up today, it's a very difficult world right now. But it's not just our young people. It's much wider than that. It's quite normal to have sex whenever, whatever, and with whoever in this world. And those who don't follow that pattern of the world are seen as unusual. And that's without the sexual confusion linked to umpteen alphabetical letters, all of which make these chapters incredibly relevant today. The first point is this: the lure of sexual temptation, verses 1 through 14. Sexual temptation is by very nature tempting. 5 verse 3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Turning to chapter 7, verse 13, we have another description. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, covered linens from Egypt, Egypt's linens. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves. This is in the context of a forbidden woman. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey. Also referred to as a forbidden woman in verse 20. Now, this might be a prostitute. Chapter 7, it's definitely a married woman having sex whilst her husband is away. It's a forbidden woman. But in our context today, it could equally be a one-night stand, so-called casual sex. There's another significant area to which this applies today: pornography. Freely available on the internet. The Children's Commissioner for England said this: we find that pornography exposure is widespread and normalised to the extent that children cannot opt out. The average age at which children first see pornography is 13. A lot of teachers will tell you it's a lot younger than that. By age 9, 10% had seen pornography, 27% had seen it by age 11, and half of all children who've seen pornography have seen it by age 13. And much of this is hardcore stuff. I don't want to highlight some of the other statistics. I think it would be unhelpful to mention some of the percentages for other sexual expectations that are now seen as the norm. But it is very sobering and also very frightening. This is the world in which we live. This is the world that our young people are being brought up in today. The Gospel Coalition, an organisation in America of really great evangelical groups of people, have done some research. And in America, they have concluded that 54% of born-again men watch pornography at least once a month. That's over half. I'm not sure it's a lot different in the UK. But increasingly, it's not just men. It's a growing problem amongst women too. Women watching pornography is becoming more and more common, according to research. Now, this morning, this is not to cause panic, and it's not to be sensational, because God's word speaks very clearly into our culture today. God's word warns against sexual immorality, be that physically, be that virtually, online, in any form at all. Solomon knows what he's talking about here, and he's warning his son against all sexual promiscuity. Let me read his warning again in Proverbs 5, verse 3. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is as bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honour to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength, and your labours go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan. When your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. This is not God's way to live. God's very clear that as believers, we have to live in purity. If you live another way, it brings, according to God's word this morning, and according to our experience as we observe the world around us, it brings unhappiness. It brings destruction. It brings ruin. Sex can sometimes be a drug, especially pornography. Just like a drug addict, the person can end up hating what they have become, but they can't stop themselves so often. If we're going to take the warning seriously this morning, what are we going to do? Well, let me give you a few pointers. First of all, we pray for each other, and particularly the next generation of young people. That has to be a serious responsibility that we take on as a church family. That we pray for each other. And we pray particularly for our young people who, according to that quote earlier, find it very difficult to opt out of such things. Secondly, we must warn our young people and warn everyone about these things as much as we warn them about drugs. Thirdly, those caught in a spiral often need help. If you're in that spiral this morning, you need to reach out to someone that you trust spiritually. Statistically, there are probably a lot of people here this morning who need to reach out and ask for help. Accountability partners can be really useful. Fourthly, parents, you have a particular responsibility. Bringing your kids up in such a world that is hostile to God. Proverbs 5 is a father instructing his son, his children. Can I also say something else that is really important? The Bible is clear that in all these matters, there is complete forgiveness. That's really important we understand that. That's the wonderful thing about grace. But forgiveness comes on repentance, which means turning away, doing a U-turn, changing things and changing directions. But with true forgiveness, there's also the promise of guilt removed and shame that goes away. Number two this morning, God's provision for sexual delight. Now, marriage is extremely important in the Bible. God set up marriage at the beginning, one man, one woman, in an exclusive relationship. Now, marriage runs throughout God's word as it looks to that ultimate wedding. Salvation history kind of all leads towards that final marriage in heaven when Christ will be united to His church. That makes marriage incredibly special. It is something that God loves. Our passage this morning teaches us that there is sexual freedom to be found in marriage and only in marriage. Within a relationship of love within marriage, sex is to be enjoyed. 1 Corinthians says, the husband should give his wife a conjugal rights and likewise the wife to the husband. Goes on to say, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, but then come together again. Listen to God's word, Proverbs 5, verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be for yourself alone, and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. One other thought that comes to us from Corinthians. Paul writes, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take your members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? There is no such thing as casual sex for the believer. We belong to Christ. And because we belong to Christ, because God's Spirit indwells us, we cannot therefore be linked to sexual immorality, either through casual sex or through pornography. But as we've said, there's complete forgiveness in Christ when repentance takes place. Number three, avoid entrapment. Now, this is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 through 19. I really need you to cast your eyes down the passage this morning because we didn't read all of it, but it'd be really great if you could just cast your eyes down it. Because we've got a bit of an interlude here before we get back to learning about sexual wisdom. But the common theme is entrapment. So Proverbs 5, Proverbs 7, about sexual entrapment. But Proverbs 6 in the middle is about entrapment much more generally. So we're going to whiz through this quite quickly. But first of all, we see when you get it wrong, deal with it, verses 1 to 5. My son, if you've put up security for your neighbour, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbour. Go hasten and plead urgently with your neighbour. Give your eyes no sleep, your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. In this example, a man has been very rash in his dealings. He's made a promise and he's put up security for a stranger, for his neighbour, and he's made a guarantee on his behalf, and he's become liable for something. Solomon says that such a person who has made a foolish decision should do very quickly whatever he needs to do to undo it. And in a wider sense, this is the message of God's word. We get things wrong in life. We screw up, we sin. And before it entangles us, we need to deal with it. Before it brings us to ruin, we must sort things out. Repentance is a necessary response to sin. And genuine repentance, turning away, brings forgiveness. And that's very true in the context of what we've just been looking at. The next little bit under this heading is be vigilant. Cast your eyes down, verses 6 through to 15. As you see there, you'll see that there is an urge not to be lazy, not to sit at home folding your hands, but to get up and be busy and to work. not to be lazy, because idleness provides a temptation for us to sin. The Bible encourages us to work hard. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve didn't just sit in their deck chairs. They had work to do tending the creation that God had made. It was a joyous work. It was a delightful work. But they weren't to sit there doing nothing. Sitting around in idleness can be quite destructive. So today, can you imagine someone surfing the net? They don't know what else to do, so, you know, they're just surfing around. They're bored. They're killing time. And then one thing moves to another. Temptation arises. And it's so easy to fall into sin. That doesn't happen as easily when you work hard. So maybe you need to change. We need to change some habits for our free time. Decide how to use our free time more productively. You never know. You could even use it to serve in church life. And then there's God's character here as well. In verses 16 through 19, we've got a list of sinful things that God doesn't like. We've got pride, deceit, innocent bloodshed, wicked scheming, evil intent, liars, and troublemakers. And God's character does not change. Neither do the things that he hates. When we discover that God hates things, we need to listen really carefully. We find different lists across God's word, but the lists are always consistent in terms of their essence. And interesting, isn't it? Did you notice what the first one on the list is? It's pride. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall, from elsewhere in Proverbs. Corinthians, therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Number four, we've got five this morning, just so you know where we are. Number four, violation of marriage. And we're now in chapter 6, verse 20 through to 35. At the start of this section, there is a long encouragement. It's a lovely encouragement about taking God's wisdom, his law, his word into our lives, not forsaking it, binding it on our hearts. Commandments a lamp, teaching a light, because it will preserve us and keep us. All other routes lead to death. And in the case of adultery, quite literally, God's command in Deuteronomy is that adultery should be punished by stoning. In our world, that seems incredibly harsh. But actually, it teaches us something really important. It teaches us the high regard that God has for marriage between one man and one woman. A relationship that is to be lifelong and exclusive. And don't our marriage vows that are said when someone gets married reflect this? Promises made before God. And God's punishment describes the importance of the marriage bed. As we come to chapter 6, let me just read a few verses to you. So the warning comes about, in verse 24, about the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart. Do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread. But a married woman hunts down a precious life. And then there's a warning that continues throughout the rest of chapter 6. As Jesus talks about adultery, he ups the game. In fact, he says, anyone who looks lustfully in his heart has committed adultery. But yet again, there is forgiveness under grace. There is forgiveness for those who've committed adultery. And if this morning at some point you have sinned, and you have committed adultery, then with repentance there is forgiveness. And it's offered freely. And then lastly, we come to a case study, which is chapter 7. From verse 6, Solomon tells us a story. And we haven't got time to go through all of it, but I want us to pick out a few key points from the case study that he presents. The first is this: don't start to think foolishly. In verse 7, or let me start at verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense. Simple in verse 7 is simply a description of someone who is acting with foolishness. Don't think this is someone who's lacking ability. This is a young man who is lacking wisdom. Don't start to think foolishly. The antidote to that is to keep your eyes on Jesus, to keep your focus on God's word, to let his wisdom find its place into your heart and into your life. Second thing here, don't walk near temptation. Look at verse 8. Young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. This foolish man passes along the street near her corner, knowing that this is the corner where this woman, this prostitute, who is a married woman, hangs out looking for people. And this foolish man, he deliberately chooses to take the road that walks right past her house, her corner. Whether or not he has intent, it is extremely foolish. Don't expose yourself to temptation when you don't need to. If you're feeling vulnerable, don't go on the internet. Don't put yourself in a place where you can easily be tempted. Take another route to walk. Go down a different street. Make different choices. This man goes down the road and he knows there's a strong chance that she will be there. And he doesn't need to walk down this street at twilight, at night. Bad choices, bad decisions. God's word, the wisdom that we have in Proverbs, encourages us to make good choices and good decisions. And then number 3, don't be seduced by a fleeting fantasy. Just see how fleeting this is. Verse 10, and behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. This is dressing sin up to look attractive and compelling. The devil is really good at doing that, you know. And it's so easy for all of us in all aspects of life to be seduced by temptation. And, you know, you can imagine, can't you, all the excuses. Well, this young man would say, yeah, nobody's around. It's safe. Husband's away. It's fun. Aren't we all entitled to some fun? It doesn't do any harm, does it? And after all, everybody does it, don't they? And compelled by her temptation, we read, all at once he follows her. An impulsive decision resulting from foolish exposure to temptation. And then lastly here, to see that sexual sin leads to destruction. Look in verse 22. All at once he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter or a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, so he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, O sons, listen to me. Be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim she has laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is on the way to Sheol, that is the place of death, going down to the chambers of death. James in the New Testament says, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. God's word this morning teaches us to strive after sexual wisdom, so that we can conduct ourselves wisely in an evil generation. So we can walk in light and life. Not stumble into darkness and immorality. Do you need to come to God in repentance this morning and say sorry? God promises full, free, and complete forgiveness to all who humbly ask him. I wouldn't have chosen to preach this sermon this morning, but God's word is God's word. And it's just incredibly relevant. And it speaks into our generation and our lives today. We need to take God's word into our heart. We need to bind it on us. We need to make sure that we keep on listening. May God help all of us to bind his word around our necks, to keep ourselves pure as the bride of Christ. And if you do need to talk with someone this week, then don't put it off. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that it truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, sometimes your word is incredibly challenging, but we thank you that it is always true. And we pray that you would give everyone this morning the grace to respond. Thank you for the work of Jesus on the cross. Thank you that there is full and complete forgiveness. Thank you that there is that promise of sins removed as far as the east is from the west, of peace with you, and of shame and guilt removed. This morning, we thank you for Jesus. Amen.